The leader of Alaska militia convicted of conspiring to murder federal officials will spend nearly 26 years in prison. Judge Robert Bryan yesterday sentenced Schaefer Cox during a hearing in U.S. District Court in Anchorage. Before he was sentenced, Cox apologized to family and friends. He said he was acting out of fear before his arrest in March of 2011 and only got worse the more scared he became. Cox was convicted in June of 9 federal charges, including conspiracy to kill federal law enforcement officers and possession of illegal weapons. Another former Alaska Peacemakers Militia member, Lonnie Vernon, also received nearly 26 years in prison when he was sentenced on Monday on conspiracy to murder federal officials and weapons charges. The sentencing of John Nick Marvin Jr. has been moved to April 5th. The Hoonah man, convicted during a jury trial last November of killing two Hoonah police officers, was to be sentenced February 1st. A pre-sentence report was due late last month. Sitka Superior Court Judge David George acknowledged yesterday that the reason for the current delay was a simple oversight.
And for whatever reason, I want to advise the parties that a written order requesting a pre-sentence report Apparently never went out. The oral order for it, of course, was on the record at the conclusion of the trial.
A pre-sentence report is done by the probation department on the defendant, and it normally takes 60 days to write. Both the prosecution and defense are usually allowed sufficient time to review that report before formal sentencing. Judge George will also consider the findings in that report before handing down a sentence. Marvin will be sentenced to 99 years for the murder of Sergeant Anthony Wallace and could serve between 20 and 99 years for the murder of Officer Matthew Tokaoka. Meanwhile, Judge George says he'll make a decision on a motion for a new trial. Marvin's defense attorney wants the trial to determine whether Wallace was actually in the performance of his official duties during the August 2010 shooting.
Well, I'll take that under advisement then and issue an order in due course. I didn't see any requests for oral arguments, so unless I decide that I need to hear more from you, consider that matter ripe for decision.
Wallace was in uniform and on patrol in a department vehicle, while Tokaoka was off duty and not in uniform at the time of the shooting. The outcome of such a new trial could mean as much as 79 years taken off of Marvin's potential sentence. Police were called to a high school in Anchorage after getting a report of a student with a gun there. Diamond High School was placed on lockdown status yesterday morning. Police spokeswoman Dana Myron says 15 police officers were on the scene within a minute of receiving the call at 9:35 yesterday morning. She says a 16-year-old is accused of pointing what appeared to be a handgun at another student. It took the other student about an hour to report the incident to school officials. The 16-year-old was taken into custody and is facing charges of terroristic threatening, misconduct involving a weapon, and assault. Police say the weapon, a BB gun that closely resembles a Glock 40 handgun, was found in the student's backpack. Bill Brown of Juneau has resigned from the Board of Fisheries with nearly a year and a half remaining on his term. Brown says he submitted his letter of resignation to Fish and Game Commissioner Cora Campbell on Monday. He says personal reasons and personalities played into his decision, but he declined to be more specific.
I did not want to resign, but, you know, I spent about a month thinking about it. I talked to the commissioner, I talked to other board members about it, and it was a decision I made.
Brown says he was not asked to step down and that some people at Fish and Game wanted him to stay on board. He also says health concerns did not play a role in his decision. He was first appointed to the Board of Fisheries in 2008 by then-Governor Sarah Palin. He was reappointed by Governor Sean Parnell in 2011, and his term was due to expire June 30, 2014. The 7-member Board of Fisheries is responsible for setting seasons, bag limits, gear restrictions, and policy for subsistence, commercial, sport, and personal use fisheries in state waters. Brown says he'd like to stay involved in fisheries policy in some capacity.
I'm passionate about fisheries in the state. I'm passionate about conservation. I'm also passionate about the fact that people make their lives that way. That's what they do for a living. It's their lifestyle, and I respect that. I'll stay involved.
Brown makes his living in the fishery support industry. His business, Taku Reel Repair, services equipment for commercial and sport fishermen. Parnell spokesperson Sharon Layhouse says the governor has 30 days to make an appointment and is currently soliciting applicants. Deck Boss blogger Wesley Loy was the first to report on Brown's resignation. There'll be two federal investigations of what went wrong with the Kulik, the 266-foot shell drilling rig that went adrift in the Gulf of Alaska and ended up on the rocks of the outer coast of Kodiak Island. APRN's Steve Heimel has more on the story.
One of the investigations was ordered by the Interior Department, and a second was ordered by the U.S. Coast Guard's 17th District Commander, Thomas Ostaboat. He called for a formal marine casualty investigation of the incident, including engine failures, the loss of tow, and the decision to tow the rig south during storm season in the Gulf of Alaska. The investigation could take up to a year, though Ostaboat asked to have it completed within 4 months. Coast Guard spokeswoman Lieutenant Veronica Colbath says the investigation will look at Shell, its contractors, and the Coast Guard itself.
All parties, the investigating officer will look at all factors associated with the incident. That could be from the cause of the accident, looking at the full scope of all towing vessels, towing equipment, procedures, and personnel involved.
The probe was recommended by the incident's on-scene coordinator, Captain Paul Mailer. It'll be run by an investigator from New Orleans.
The investigating officer is Commander Joshua McTaggart, and he's with the National Center of Expertise in New Orleans. And he'll be working with investigators from Coast Guard Sector Anchorage who will assist him.
Also involved in that probe will be the National Transportation Safety Board and the Bureau of Safety and Environmental Enforcement, an agency set up after the Deepwater Horizon spill in the Gulf of Mexico to separate the enforcement duties of the Interior Department from its oil and gas leasing activities. In a separate but related move, Interior Secretary Ken Salazar promoted Tommy Boudreau to Acting Assistant Secretary for Land and Minerals Management and put him in charge of an assessment of Shell's past drilling season, including, among other things, the Kulik incident, the inability to equip a spill response barge, and the many safety and propulsion issues surrounding the drilling rig Noble Discoverer. Boudreau runs the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management in charge of awarding permits for drilling. Shell spokesman Curtis Smith says the company wants answers, too.
And I think it's fair to say we're shaking our own heads a bit. We know we have a commitment to go above and beyond. We've made a huge investment in technology. And as we've talked about over the years, we have a lot of experience working in the Arctic. So why are we getting in our own way? We don't know the complete answer to that yet, but I promise you no one here is going to rest well until we have a better answer.
Appearing on the public radio call-in show Talk of Alaska, Smith admitted that Shell's performance has not been satisfactory.
These events are something, of course, we take extremely seriously, and while we are relieved that there appears to be no harm to people, no harm to the environment, we're just very sorry that it happened in the first place. Frankly, Alaskans expect better from Shell, and so do we.
Any investigation of the Kulik is likely to focus heavily on the engine failures experienced by the tug Ivik while it was towing it on New Year's Eve. Smith says once that tow line went slack, they were never able to restore complete control.
Right after the Ivik lost power, it's fair to say that we never got a perfect purchase on the Kulik again, or a really good tow line, the way you would in, say, calm water or in port. It really all started, in my mind, when the Ivik lost its ability to propel itself.
Once the crew was lifted from the tossing rig by helicopter, all chance to restore control was gone because there was nobody aboard the rig to secure the tow line. The tug Ivik has four engines, and all four of them failed. The Coast Guard allowed the tug to return to service once new fuel injectors and filters had been installed and the engines have been fined since. Environmental groups responded to the announcement of the probes by once again calling on the Obama administration to stop granting drilling permits for the Arctic Ocean. Greenpeace said it has delivered 100,000 signatures to the White House demanding an end to offshore Arctic drilling. In Anchorage, I'm Steve Heimel.
The price of Brent crude oil is $111.79 a barrel this morning. West Texas Intermediate is at $93.10 a barrel. Silver is down 23 cents in New York spot market trading. Currently it's $30.18 an ounce. And zinc is up at 91 cents a pound. You're listening to Morning Edition here on KTOO Juneau. It's 6:30.